Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Many students are preparing to return to school in the next couple of weeks here in the Midwest. Some have even started this week, several next week. And I know out in for our listeners in the East Coast of the United States, waiting until later this month or even September as they head back to school. What about those beyond the classroom, the things that your child might do? Many students are involved in sports to help them learn how to work on a team or play together on a team to stay physically fit. What about the arts? Are there ways that your children can enjoy the arts, learn about the arts in an extracurricular activity? We're going to talk about some of those today. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone now, Catherine Moores. She's director and theater arts teacher at Lake Country Playhouse in Heartland, Wisconsin. Catherine, welcome.
Hello, Andy.
Thanks for being my guest today, and I can't wait to learn more about the Lake Country Playhouse and as an artist, what you do there. Tell me a little bit about your background, how you ended up in this career as an artist and a teacher as well.
Sure. I actually started in theater at my church growing up. My mother was the costumer. So I kind of got thrown on stage, mostly to get me out of her hair, I think. when they needed an extra, they just came to my family and asked us to be on stage with them. And so I started to really grow in love doing that. And then, of course, doing musicals and whatever growing up. And then I actually went to school at Concordia Chicago for a degree in theater once I got up to the college level. And it was after I graduated working with their young artist program that I really found a love for teaching and what that can bring to a student's life when you start to teach the theater arts to as young as 5 years old, seeing what they can do with that. So, yeah, really fun stuff.
So how did you, as you learned and experienced this as a child, how do you think that shaped your education, your learning and interaction as a student, whether it's with other students, with the teacher? How do you think your theater experience shaped your education as a whole?
Sure. One of the big aspects was definitely my ability to speak openly with people, whether it be in front of a group or just one-on-one. Theater is a great tool to teach eye contact to kids. It's something that our culture doesn't really put an emphasis on anymore. And I'll notice the change in students, especially first-time students that I interact with, in how they hold eye contact during a conversation. So that's something that I definitely developed as a child. And then my ability for creating and developing stories and connecting with literary elements was a lot stronger as a kid as well, because I was able to abstractly think of who that character was within a story, whether it was in middle school or high school, and it made learning a whole lot more fun for me as I grew up.
What do you think what can children learn in their theater experience in addition to acting?
One of the biggest would probably be ensemble elements. Much like sports, as you were talking about, they need team building and they need to learn how to interact with each other in settings where they might not, you know, agree on every single element. One of my favorite parts is getting into the tech week portion of any production, because we teach the kids problem solving. If somebody is bringing on the stump to stage left and you need it stage right, how are you going to get it there? We don't necessarily have to direct that. You can create that for yourself, talk it out, find who's moving it, and do that problem solving yourself, because, one, that's good for you, and two, then I don't have to deal with a bunch of kids asking questions that they can solve on their own. So there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that as well. And then also with that comes their ability to speak to one another, which, especially for kids in my class who have some kind of social disorder. I actually have a number of children who have mild Asperger's and other social disorders, I'm able to help them interact with those people in their environment. And so this becomes a teaching tool for them to be able to deal with what they're working with. So it's really cool to watch.
Tell me about some of the things that you teach in your classes or in your workshops with students.
Sure. One of the big things we teach is something called, it's like a Stanislavski light kind of program. I don't know if you're familiar with the works of Stanislavski, but he's a theater theologian. And basically we use this tool called ROOT. And ROOT is an acronym for relationships, objectives, obstacles, and tactics. And it's a character building tool for kids to understand the character that they're playing within a show. But then throughout the program that I run, we teach the kids how to apply the concept of understanding relationships and how to set objectives for themselves, how to overcome obstacles, just like their characters have to, and what kind of tactics you should choose as a human and somebody who wants to add into the society in a positive way, what kind of tactics you want to choose in order to, you know, overcome those obstacles in a way that isn't going to be negative and will bring about the betterment of not only yourself, but the people around you, which goes right back to the R of the relationship and how to build those relationships in your life.
What, from the audience perspective, especially as parents, grandparents, those of us in the audience, what should we be watching for when in the audience? What do you want us to know as the members of the audience?
Sure. One of the big things is, especially when you're looking for a theater program, look for a program that focuses on process over product. So as an audience member, you're not looking for perfection within what the child is doing on stage. You're looking for commitment and how much, what it comes down to is how much fun they're having playing this character. Because even if the character is a character that's sad or evil, whatever it might be, that child is finding joy within playing that character and understanding that there was a process behind creating that fun person on stage. I have this whole philosophy behind children's theater that it should really be more like a Pixar movie so that the kids are having fun, but the adults watching are still also engaged. And so having that ability as an audience member to watch for the development rather than looking for this pristine Broadway level product, because children's theater, I mean, it's meant to be fun. It's meant for them to interact and learn these tools. And when you just go for this end product that is canned and perfect, there's an element of fun that is truly lost on the child, and it's kind of sad. So that's one thing that I really focus on as well is looking at that process and talking the kids through understanding what they're doing so that they're not just creating this character that they don't understand and therefore they're not having as much fun with.
Walk us through that process of learning to create that or establish that character. How do you help a child learn how to do that?
Oh, there are lots of games. It's very fun. we focus a lot on doing different improv activities, speaking activities. We put a lot of heavy weight on the warm-ups that we do with the kids. Of course, kids need structure and they need a set routine. And so within theater, that can be difficult to grasp onto because there's so many different moving parts, especially when you get close to a show. And so from day one, we establish a routine that the kids get into when they get to the theater and how they're expected to act and then how they're expected to warm themselves up. There are three parts of ourselves that we need to be an actor, and that's our voices, our bodies, and our minds. And so we have different warm-up tools for them to use. And by the end of the camps that I run, we actually have the kids fully self-leading that, and we give them that responsibility and ask leaders to step forward and help the younger kids. And so, setting a good amount of structure to their warm-up and then teaching them how to use projection and how to tell a story with their body, with how much weight they have in their hands or whatever it might be, so that they can communicate these different characters. And then translating that into whatever characters that they choose to take on for the summer. It's pretty fun.
What are some of their favorite activities? What are some of the favorite ones of the students?
Oh, gosh. They love a game called Zip Zap Zop, which if you're in a theater circle, you will know the game Zip Zap Zop. It's a fun little word game. It's very fast-paced. It helps kids understand cue lines and how they need to respond in time on stage so that it seems like a natural flow of conversation. I also love doing team-building exercises like Human Knot. It's a, you know, generally used for sports teams or whatever, like, group-building activity it is. In theater, it helps us learn how to be, like, abnormally close to each other, because a lot of times we get squished together in small spaces on the stage, which is really fun for the kids. They always have a blast with it, and we just create a big human knot, and then they have to problem solve and work together to get out of that. So they love that, and then they love the improv activities that we do, which really helps them also stay in the moment during any production. And it's always fun to see their creativity. That's probably one of my favorite parts about teaching, is I will sometimes start a program without the entire idea designed in my mind. And that first day I'll ask the kids for some of their ideas, and I'll actually use a lot of their ideas in the final product. So, you know, it's it's using their creative little minds, which is the fun part.
What do you think are some of the benefits when it comes to, we'll talk about educational in just a little bit. What about social or emotional benefits from being involved in a theater program for children?
Sure. Being able to deal with emotion is always a big part of this as well. I actually had a student this summer who, sadly enough, lost a pet in their family. And then our storyline within Into the Woods Junior, which is the show we're doing currently, there is the death of a pet. There's the death of this cow. And so here she was on stage having to deal with all these emotions that were in her real life happening on a stage in front of her. And we were able to help her walk through the emotions of dealing with that and talking it out and talking as a group on how we support each other during something like that. And so whether it be loss or happiness, whatever it might be, I encourage the kids to find emotional moments that they experience within their day-to-day lives and then apply that on the stage, because it helps them run over those emotional, like, railroad tracks more or less in their line, in their minds, and helps them, you know, realize this, think through the process of what emotion is, so that when they do encounter that outside of the stage, they're able to more easily come to the idea of, okay, this is what I'm feeling, and this is how I need to deal with it, and here's how I felt in the past, how do I apply that to this situation? And it can be actually a really powerful tool as far as dealing with even just, you know, tiny bodies, tiny emotions, but those emotions get bigger as we grow, of course. And I actually have some of the oldest students I've ever had this summer, and watching those emotions grow and what these kids are dealing with versus my younger students is, it's a new challenge. And it's something that I also get to better myself so that I can continue to help the kids.
What about in the classroom? How might theater help children in the classroom academically?
Oh, sure. A lot of that is understanding character and understanding how characters apply to a story. So especially within literature, whatever it might be, understanding those characters, how they apply within a story, and then how they interact. So that goes back to the whole concept of relationships and what you're building. So there's a social aspect to that on how they're getting along with other classmates. From a technical theater standpoint, I have a number of technical theater students I also work with in building and all of that. I help them understand the math component behind theater and how to put things together and build things with all of the numbers that go along with that. and how to create, and how that really, when you break it down, comes down to the basics that you're learning in math class, and taking elements from a story and bringing them to life on the stage takes all of those different subjects that you learn, whether it be history so it looks correct for the time period, or science if we're using dry ice or a fog machine. I teach them all about that. And then math, of course, in any type of building situation. So it's one of those activities that really allows a lot of kids to use all and apply. That's a big thing. You know, students are always talking about how, like, oh, I'm never going to use this. And in as far as subject matter that they learn in school, and theater will allow them to apply a lot of that knowledge and bring it to life and actually be able to see and touch what they've learned in the past. So that's pretty fun.
There's a lot of application. So when we say I never really use algebra, we actually might have to use some algebra in theater.
Oh, yes. Geometry is a big one, whether it be costume design or creating something to look the proper way and how to put those numbers together on the stage. That is a big part. I never thought I'd use as much as I do.
Or lighting design too, I'm sure. Some geometry in that as well.
Yep. And a lot of art, a lot of understanding of color, what it means and how to apply that to a stage, and look critically at what you've created and say, how do I make it better?
Certainly. How do you lead children in a program like this, especially for that, maybe that shy kid that mom or dad or grandma or grandpa signed up for the program, but they're kind of shy. They don't want to get out there. Or maybe mom or dad or someone signed them up for this program to help them get out of shell.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of times I will take those kids and put them in our ensemble. The great thing about theater ensemble is that a lot of times they don't have lines. And so we teach them all of the speaking and the volume throughout our warm-ups and our daily activities. But when it comes down to the actual performance, if they're still dealing with a lot of nerves or nervousness or shyness, they're able to go on stage, and their only parts where they're speaking is usually in song with, you know, 50 other kids, which makes them feel a lot more at ease. And then working within the ensemble, what we do to fill out the stage within our program is we always have extra characters on the stage reacting and interacting with each other to really dress up the stage and give the kids an opportunity to do more acting. And so we'll have groups of kids on stage. They aren't speaking, but they're interacting with the main characters or each other, and they're developing those presentational or, you know, relationship skills within the confines of a controlled situation, so that if something goes wrong, you know, the audience isn't going to notice it and they're not going to feel that type of pressure. And a lot of times the kids that come in with the most, you know, anxiety, whether it be during auditions or during an audition prep class, which is a lot of what we do as well, they're allowed to, they'll come back at the end of the program as some of our strongest ensemble members, because despite all of that fear, they're able to overcome it. And a lot of time that makes them stronger than kids that come in without that fear. And so that's also very fun to watch. This summer I actually had a number of 5 to 6 year olds that could barely talk during auditions. And by the end of the summer, they were like strong functioning members of our ensemble, and they were having so much fun. And that's, I mean, when it comes down to it, that's really what I push, is the positivity that the kids leave the theater with. They learn a lot, but I want them to come back because their experience was happy. So
where have you seen some of your students, what's the progress you've seen some of your students make, and how has it helped them beyond the theater now, you know, later on in life?
Sure. I actually, this summer, had my first round of students almost graduate from our program, and they came back to actually teach and help with technical elements and assist in teaching and coaching the kids. And so that is probably one of the most meaningful experiences I've had so far, is watching students that I've had become, you know, 16, 17 years old, and they come back to help with my younger program this summer, and hearing the lessons that I taught them being taught to a younger student that needs a little bit more one-on-one time, and that our program has grown so much that I can't always apply my one-on-one timing to every single situation, and I can call on them and watch them go and teach and do what I taught them, you know, 2-3 years ago. And I actually had a student that graduated from our program, and she was now our technical director for the whole summer. So she designed all the costumes and the props and all of this and took that on. It was really cool to see. So seeing them apply that within the theater setting is, of course, very special to me. Outside of the theater program, I haven't really talked to a lot of the students about how they've been applying that there. But I have seen a lot of my kids go on to search out other theater opportunities and continuing their theatrical journey. So that's always good to see as well.
What about at home? What can families be doing at home to support their learning of theater or exercises they can do at home?
Sure. Big thing is storytelling. If your kid wants to tell a story, listen to them and, encourage them to explain in more detail. That's always a good part of helping a kid develop their ability to speak, whether it be to you or a group of people. Always ask for more details on things, because the more they can bring that back and tell you their, you know, senses and how they experienced this moment, helps them be able to translate that onto the stage if they decide to, or as they grow up, they will be able to express themselves better because they can use all of that those different senses to relay a story. Outside of that, if you're reading a story with your kid, you can always have them bring the story to life. Use objects around your living room, whether it be pillows or blankets or whatever it might be, and, hey, do you want to be the princess? Be the princess. Show me how the princess moves, or the prince, or, you know, the old man. Make it fun. Make it interactive. And help them see something more than what's in front of them. So this is no longer a pillow. It is now a crown. encouraging them to widen their ability to see what's and imagine, really, is what it comes down to, is using their imagination.
It sounds like a great opportunity for family time as well. You know, I was just thinking about story time with our toddler and how mm-hmm. much he enjoys that story time. A great idea, you know, have him carry out some of the things that the characters might be doing or acting or moving in the way that the character might move. Great idea.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're having like a tea party, especially with younger kids, this is a great preschool activity. Have a tea party, set up like 5 different spaces around a table, and establish that each space is a different character. And then go around from, you know, teacup to teacup. What character are you now? Oh, I am a dragon now. And then they have to drink their tea as if they are a dragon. And then they go to the next spot and they are a princess. Royal tea parties work very well with younger students. So dragons and princes and kings and jesters and whatever it might be. And have them become those different characters within a game that they're used to playing, a tea party that they always have. And that will help them be able to imaginatively create all these different personalities.
Great idea. Catherine, thanks so much for sharing these ideas with us.
Sure.
Great ways to be involved in an after-school or extracurricular activity for kids, help them develop that creativity and, well, and interaction and communication skills as well. Catherine Moore's director and theater arts teacher at Lake Country Playhouse in Heartland, Wisconsin. Thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to continue our conversation on more extracurricular activities for kids. Take a look at more of the fine arts. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
What are friends for? In this case, it's to adopt 6 children. Beth Lightcap's breast cancer had spread and was terminal. So she asked her friend, Stephanie Culley, and her husband to adopt her 6 children after she died. Beth spent the last days of her life confident her children would be well taken care of. The kids range in age from 15 to 2. And did I mention Stephanie already had 3 children? The funny part is she and her husband initially didn't plan to have any children. Now they have 9. This goes to show God's plan is often not our own. And when God puts His plan into action, our lives can change in very unexpected ways. Has God imprinted on your heart a special surprise plan? If so, please open your heart to His will.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Martin Luther's death with Dr. Ken Sherb. We'll continue our series looking forward to feasts and festivals, talking with Pastor David Peterson about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the temptation of Jesus.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Grace Kane, a junior at Lutheran High School South in St. Louis. Every day, I can grow in my faith with Christian faculty and other young believers. Together, we grow in the challenging academic environment at Lutheran South. Thanks to my school, I'm ready to not just go to college, but excel in college and throughout the rest of my life. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhssstl.org. That's lhssstl.org.
Babies come with lots of decisions.
Cloth or disposable, crib or bassinet.
So when it comes to protection, go with the safest, most effective choice, immunization. Get all the recommended vaccines for your baby by age 2 to protect your child against 14 serious childhood diseases. For more reasons to immunize, talk to your child's doctor. Go to health.mo.gov/immunizations or call 800-219-3224.
Brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
Pastors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers few." If you are a pastor with a Master's of Divinity degree under age 42 and hunger to make a difference, the church needs you, a shepherd of Christ, a chaplain in the United States military. To find out more, go to lcmschaps at lcms.org or Facebook, Ministry of the Armed Forces.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are discussing extracurricular activities for kids that for children that help them in a number of ways that strengthen them in the skills that they need in school, but also just enhancing in life skills as well. Today we're talking with Mary Murdaugh, owner of Dawsonville Dance in Dawsonville, Georgia. Mary, welcome to Faith and Family.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being my guest today. Mary, tell me a little bit about, tell me how dance became a part of your life.
Well, dance became a part of my life at a very young age. My mom enrolled me in classes when I was just 2 years old, which is pretty much the youngest that you can enroll. And so I've been dancing pretty much nonstop since then. And at first I was enrolled at a local church program. And then when I was 8, I moved to a more serious studio and started studying numerous different dance styles up until I was a teenager. And I went and studied at the Atlanta Ballet. And then right out of high school, I had to make a decision if I was going to either join a professional company or basically not dance anymore. And so I didn't like either of those options, didn't work for me. So I decided to open a dance studio. So that's how that came about. I honestly can't really remember a time that dance wasn't a large part of my life.
What were, you mentioned your mother enrolled you at the age of 2, started studying dance. What do you think her intentions were at that time? What were her hopes?
Well, at that time, there was actually a group of moms that she was with that they all were going to enroll their daughters. And the specific program was at this local church. And the director of the program wanted to reclaim the arts for the Lord. And so she felt like she wanted her daughters. I have an older sister as well that she enrolled at the time. And so she wanted her daughters to be a part of that. And I'm not sure exactly what her expectations were, but she said the very first recital we did was at Christmas, and I danced to Silent Night, and I have a picture of me in this little white dress, and my mom said she cried and cried, and she knew that she had to re-enroll me for next year.
And so it continued to progress there. What did you study along the way? Certainly there are different types of dance.
Yes. So I began with ballet, and then when I switched studios, I broadened to include tap, jazz, hip-hop, lyrical, and then continuing ballet into point work. So at that studio, I found a really great mentor. He was a tap master named Jeremy Kay, and I really found a love in tap dancing. So tap dancing is my forte, and that's the style that I really connect with, even though I enjoy pretty much all of the different styles. There are so many that I wish that I could be proficient in all of them, but I have a pretty good handle on the main classical styles of ballet, tap, jazz, hip-hop, and lyrical.
What is it about each style that that you appreciate?
Well, ballet is kind of what most people think of when they think of taking dance at a studio. So it is the foundation of a lot of other dance styles. And ballet, it eludes gracefulness and sophistication and body awareness and having those graceful movements and lines and poise of body. And then from that, you have lyrical dancing, which is a little bit more free form than ballet. It borrows from ballet technique-wise, but worship dance is kind of similar to lyrical. So it's when you listen to the lyrics of the song and portray through your movement what the lyrics are, what you're feeling through those lyrics to try to convey to the audience. Through your movement, the words of the song. So that's a unique style that I like to perform with. And then tap dancing is percussion-based, so you actually have metal taps attached to your shoes, and you're making tap sounds on the floor. So I love that because I actually get to make music, and you get to be a part of the music. So you're adding that extra layer of percussion on top of whatever music you're already performing to, which I really have a connection with. I love rhythm, and that's really the style that I really love, and I think it's just a lot of fun. It just makes me happy. It's really hard to tap dance and not just be really happy. And then hip-hop is a very popular style. It's more of a street dance style. A lot of beginner dancers, if they start a little bit later and they just want to, you know, have a lot of fun and do dance like they might see in the media, hip-hop is a great way. And then it has a lot of body isolation, so you become very to have very good body awareness of being able to isolate particular parts of your body and do, you know, popping and breaking, and it requires a lot of strength also.
What is your approach to teaching kids to enjoy dance? Why continue to teach dance? You mentioned earlier that either go with a professional company or or just go into something else altogether. What is it that you want children to gain or benefit from dance in owning your own studio?
Well, my personal approach is that I don't have a studio that would really propel them into a professional career, but I want to create wholesome, wonderful childhood memories that they're really going to cherish, because looking back at my childhood, dance was one of the best parts of it. So in my particular area, there wasn't a dance studio, so I felt the need to fill that to give those kids an opportunity to enjoy that program like I did. And so my main approach when I'm teaching children is that I want them to just enjoy it and be confident and be able to achieve something. And it helps confidence so much, just being aware of your body and being able to present yourself, being able to move gracefully. So just having fun really is what it boils down to.
What about that child who's kind of shy, mm-hmm. and mom or dad or grandma or grandpa enrolled them in a dance class to maybe help them step outside their comfort zone, but they're totally uncomfortable with it from the very beginning. How do you handle that situation? What do you have to offer that child?
Right. So there are a lot of students that enroll to get out of their shell and to gain that confidence. So I usually take the approach of giving them, especially the first class, I don't want to overwhelm them. I want to give them something simple that is achievable, so they see that success and see that you can take little steps and achieve something and progress. So I think that that's really important. And then, of course, it varies a little bit based on how old they are. With preschoolers, it'd be a little different approach. We use more of creative movement and imagery, and so we're engaging more of imagination, and so just trying to get them to think about how can we move like, you know, a big dinosaur, or how can we move like a little mouse. And so just give them tiny little things that they can feel proud of themselves, that after like even the very first lesson, they've accomplished and they've done this, and they can show their parents or whoever this move that they learned. So, and usually by the time we get around to a performance, out of, I would say, probably 400 kids that we've had performing over the past several years, we've only had one child that ever wasn't comfortable going on stage for the performance. So really, they build those confidence during the classes, and they're ready to perform and go when it's time to get out on the stage.
How might learning dance help students in other areas of life, whether it be academics? Well, let's start with academics, then we'll talk about other mm-hmm. other aspects of life.
So one thing that sticks out is math. Is you really don't know how much math is in dance until you get into it. But because you're dancing to music, you're learning about how to count music. You're learning about how to put the counts together, especially with, for instance, tap dancing. There's so many rhythms that it's very mathematical. And so we have to be able, we usually count in eighths. So even for the youngest kids, we have very quick addition skills of all the ways that you can make up eight counts, because they have to know when to begin and when to end on those eight counts. So, and then also music, most of the time you dance to music. So you're learning about metrics, the tempos, the different styles of music, how you can interpret it. You're really digging deep into that. So I think that it really helps form an appreciation music appreciation as well.
What about other aspects of life? How does learning dance, studying dance, enjoying dance, affect other life skills or improve, enhance other life skills?
Mm-hmm. So being able to perform, I think, is a very important skill to have, even if you're not exactly performing on the stage. But carrying that on into a career, being able to do a presentation, being able to have the confidence just to stand in front of people and move in front of people. And when you're dancing on stage, you smile. So we train, actually, to smile for several minutes nonstop. And it becomes kind of a natural part of people just continuing to smile because we're just trained in it so much. And it kind of goes into relationships and just being smiling at people, having a happy demeanor about you. And I think that a lot of students have been able to take that into doing presentations at school, and just being able to present themselves very confidently.
Where has this led your students? What success have you seen in them?
Well, my students haven't gone through the entire program through graduation yet, but so I've had only a few students that have actually moved on from it, but I have had students that have trained with me and gone to internationally, been accepted into internationally acclaimed ballet programs. And I've just locally among the students, I've had students that were not accepted, say, into a theater program that they were interested in, and after taking with me, then they gained the skills and the confidence that they were needed to achieve their goals. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing in these next couple of years how my first crop of students is going to do when they graduate high school. But I love even the younger kids. I love running into the moms around town, and they just tell me that they had such a great time with me and that I was able to help them to achieve these other goals, even if they're not specifically dance-related, but that it was just a positive experience and impact on their childhood. So I hope that that's really what they take away from it.
Let's take a look at, walk us through what the youngest students begin with and how you introduce them to dance and work from there.
Okay, so our youngest students are 3 years old. We do a creative movement program, which is basically exactly what it sounds like. We take movements and we do them in a creative pattern. So, for instance, I use the example of being large and small. So how can we dance large like a dinosaur, and how can we dance small like a little mouse? And so we introduce them to a lot of coordination elements, standing on one foot, being able to transfer weight, learning their rights and lefts, a lot of the large motor skills that preschoolers are working on anyway, being able to walk on their tippy toes. And from that, we introduce them to basic dance moves so that they start to have a foundation of the actual dance technique. But overall, it's a very imaginative type of experience where, you know, we tippy-toe and we go dance like how fish would swim in the ocean and all of those imagery to just promote them to explore their bodies and how they can move their arms and their legs and their head and imitate the creatures that God made. So that's really the foundation of the program, is just starting to become aware of what your body can do. And so it's a wonderful thing.
What has been for you some some favorite moments from studying dance, and we'll talk about favorite moments from teaching dance as well, but some of the highlights from your career as a student of dance.
Okay, so some of the highlights that I had was with my tap teacher. He is a wonderful tap master, and he's actually touring right now in Germany with a tap show. And so one of my favorite moments was getting to perform with him on stage, and I really, really love remembering that moment. And he was just such an inspiration to me. That was really a highlight. And then also getting to perform with the Atlanta Ballet. We have the famous Fabulous Fox Theater in Atlanta, which I believe you have one in St. Louis as well. So getting to perform there was one of a definite highlight.
So being a student of dance is certainly something that has been a lifelong joy for you.
Yes.
Where do you find joy in teaching students today?
I love children, and I love to be able to provide them with a safe environment that they can just be children. One of the strong reasons that I felt that I should open a studio was because my mom had such a hard time finding an appropriate, wholesome studio environment for me to grow up in. And I just love that I have a place where they can form friendships with other children and have a wholesome environment where the parents really appreciate and say that, you know, I'm a role model for their children. We work very hard to make sure that all of our costuming and the lyrics of our songs and our dance moves are very clean and non-suggestive, which is extremely hard to do in the dance world. It's a really, really big effort. So that's one of the main reasons, is that I think that, you know, little girls and little boys should just be able to be the little children that they are and enjoy, just have a wholesome experience. So that's really what I love, is being able to create that atmosphere for them. And then for the actual teaching, I also love to see them accomplish and feel accomplished with themselves, that they achieved something and that they enjoyed the journey.
How can parents be supportive and encouraging of their children, either to get them into dance or help them through that first year if they're feeling timid about it? Or what can they do at home when a child is in a dance program?
Right. So if they're encouraging their child to get into a dance class, I would encourage them to look at several different options, because not every dance studio is right for every child. So definitely don't let a first-time experience at a particular studio turn you off completely from dancing. So make sure that you check around and do some research and find a place where your child will really be comfortable, because when they're comfortable, that's when they can really open up and thrive. As far as encouraging dance at home, just putting on music is really all that you need to do. Just get up and moving around to some music. I mean, really, I say that anybody can dance. So I love just to have music on at my home all the time, and just get up and dance with each other is really all that you need to do. Just be active and pick a song that you love.
You said anybody can dance. How do you adapt, or how do you include those who might have special needs in whether it be in dance classes or in other settings?
Right. So our special needs program is very special to me. We have several special needs students. Some of them are able to incorporate in our regular classes, but most of them do private lessons with me. And it's just, it's a wonderful experience to be able to tailor specifically to what they need. Like I mentioned before about math and music and counting, it's just a wonderful thing when I have a special needs child who maybe has trouble with counting, but they can find the beat. And then we're able to, you know, eventually count up to 8 on the beat. And it's really, it really makes me feel really proud of them. Even if they do the tiniest little thing, just to be, because sometimes it's, you know, can be a struggle and it can be out of their comfort zone. But just even the little bit that sometimes they do can be the biggest accomplishment of all.
What does this year look like for you at Dawsonville Dance?
Oh, it's very exciting this year. We actually just began back yesterday, and we were launching a whole new system of programs. So I'm very excited to see that. There's a lot of excitement at the studio. We're also launching a performance team this year. So we're going to be going around to local community events, performing for the community, performing at local nursing homes, and things like that. So I'm really excited to be able to share that. I love it when there's people in the audience after we perform and they say that they felt like that they lived and danced through us. So especially when we get to perform at nursing homes or elderly homes, that it really just brings them so much joy that we're doing something that maybe they're not physically able to anymore, but they can still feel that joy and feel like that they're dancing through us. So that always is just a really nice feeling.
So a whole year of activities and learning ahead. It sounds like you have you've got a lot on your plate, but it sounds like you enjoy it fully.
Yes, I do.
Well, Mary, thanks so much for being our guest today, sharing your story of how dance has influenced your life and how you use it to help others, especially children.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate you having me.
A pleasure talking with you today. Mary Murdaugh, owner of Dawsonville Dance in Dawsonville, Georgia. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word will continue our encore presentations of Galatians, and we'll get to a catechesis review in the near future as well. Looking forward to Pastor Whedon returning later on this month. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.